And it is Mother's Day weekend. It's on Sunday. Seems early this year. Is it always the second Sunday in May?
I think so.
Is that what the deal is? May 9th just seems early for Mother's Day.
Yeah, maybe a little.
And we talked a little bit about our moms in the last segment. Gordo encouraging you to read the column that he wrote for his mother a few years back when she passed away. We are all without our mothers. All three of our mothers have gone on. In fact, after my dad passed away last fall, all three of us are now parentless, which is a very weird feeling, as you pointed out when we were discussing this last year.
Yeah, it is. We're all orphans.
Especially on these days, Mother's Day, Father's Day. But anytime Mother's Day rolls around, it's always time to think about your mom if she's no longer with you. And, by the way, time to encourage those who still have their mothers with them. Spend some time with them, appreciate them, because one day they won't be around. So treat her right on Mother's Day. Funny stories come to mind when I think of my mom. My mom was the best. Everybody thinks their mom was the best. My mom was the best. She was such a caring, giving person. She was a nurse. Her number one priority was to take care of other people. And she was also really smart. She was the valedictorian of her very small graduating class in Glen Olin, North Dakota. I think the class had about 17 kids in it.
Gosh, I could have had a chance then.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't have been.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah.
She went on to college, University of Seattle. I've told you that. She was there when Elgin Baylor was there.
That's awesome.
And went into nursing, was a registered nurse. Later went to grad school. And she eventually taught nursing, taught psychiatric nursing after some work in grad school. But all that time, while working, while going to grad school, while teaching, she was also a great mom. And so we miss her. She's been gone about 15 years. Whenever we reminisce about her, we always think of a couple of really funny mom stories, because while she was really, really smart and, like all moms, very intuitive, she just had this gut feeling about the right thing to do all the time, it seemed. She could also be a little scatterbrained. And I remember one time as a kid, my parents' bedroom was in the front of the house, and mine was in the very back of the house. And I got up 2 a.m. to go to the bathroom. And as I'm coming out of the bathroom, little did I know, but my mom had gotten up to go to the bathroom in the front part of the house at the same time. So I'm coming out of my bathroom, and I hear this blood-curdling scream from her. She just screams at the top of her lungs, and then screams, "There's somebody in the house."
Oh, my gosh.
And I dive into my bed, and I pull the covers over my head, and I'm freaking out, and I'm shaking. I can't believe there's an intruder in our house. And she keeps screaming, "There's somebody in Craig's room. There's an intruder in Craig's room."
Now and you're really freaked out.
Takes about 10 seconds for me to realize, wait a minute, I've just been walking through my room. Oh, she thinks I'm the intruder.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the door and I turn on a light or something. I said, "Mom, it's just me back here." And it takes a few seconds for her. Now my dad's gotten out of bed and my sister. It takes a few seconds
for the loaded shotgun pointing at you.
For everybody to realize what's happened. And then she just bursts into uncontrollable laughter. She thought there was an intruder, but it was really me just going to the bathroom.
Then you had a great family story for the rest
great
of the time.
Great family story.
Yeah.
She would laugh every year when we would bring it up.
You're so lucky you didn't get Castle Doctrine.
I know. And then the other moment that we always laughed at was my Aunt Mary has hosted Thanksgiving in our family forever. And this is a long, long time ago. So we'd gone to her house. My mom had been to her house a million times. We'd all gone over there for Thanksgiving. So the whole family's descending upon Aunt Mary's house, and my mom pulls up, and she goes in the back seat and gets the pumpkin pie or whatever she brought over to Thanksgiving, walks into the house. Everybody puts their stuff over on the kitchen table. So she walks back to the kitchen, puts down the pie, then turns around to start greeting everybody, and then kind of looks around and takes a little while, but it dawns on her, I'm in the wrong house.
Oh, no.
I'm not in Aunt Mary's house. She had gone into the neighbor's house. So she has to go get the pie.
They've remodeled.
And take it over, and she just comes into the
door. Where are you going with that pie? You can't leave her with that pie. No, I accidentally brought it.
Comes into my Aunt Mary's house, just cry laughing, and explains the story to everyone, and then we all start laughing. So we would bring that up every year, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom was... I think her most amazing feat was raising five kids birthing five kids. That's pretty incredible.
I thought you were adopted. Was that?
Oh, I don't think that was for air. No, I wasn't adopted.
That's what your older brother told me that.
He did not. But that was, she used to make my sister's clothing. She could do so many things. And then later when I was young and my brothers and sisters were out of the house, she went and got her real estate license and was a realtor. And I think this was the first listing she had. It was down the street when we lived in Chicago, and she was really excited about it. And I didn't really have a great understanding of the whole real estate business, and I just knew that we had our neighbor's garage door opener, and I thought that was pretty cool, especially the fact that I could get in my parents' bedroom window and open the garage from all the way down the street. So one day I was bored, and I was homesick. This is back when I had chronic bronchitis, and I missed a ton of school. So I was, yes, it was bronchitis. And so I was home alone. My mom had to go show a house. That's all I knew, is she had to go show a house. So I didn't put two and two together. There are two cars in front of the house down the street. She was showing the house. And I was so bored, I thought, well, let's see if I can lift the old garage door here. And as she's showing the house, the garage door is going up and down. And she couldn't tell she didn't want to tell the people, that's my son. Who's, 300 yards away doing this. And
so she lost the sale.
They did not buy that. She couldn't explain it to him.
George.
George.
And all I know is she came home.
First
just,
house.
George, what in the world? And I said, what? And, I was little. I was like 7, I think. And I finally added up, oh, I'm so sorry. I felt terrible.
I'm so sorry.
She eventually sold the house. Who knows? Maybe I'd like to think those people weren't going to buy it anyway. But that must have been pretty hilarious when they're in the living room. And all of a sudden, back then, garage door openers were so loud.
Right.
If you had a garage door opener back in the 70s, that was a pretty big deal. And, that thing's rattling up and down. And here's the spare bedroom on this side, and
I didn't know they had garage door openers way back then.
I think it was like at the very early days.
Yeah, very few had it
because we didn't have one when I was growing up.
No, we didn't either.
We were the garage door openers. Every time we got home, one of the kids would get out, and have to go open the garage door.
And I think that's why I was so fascinated with it. Like, you mean I can push this button and open that garage door?
I push this button, and then Jesus comes down and opens the door for us.
Gordo, would your mom say something about the people who had garage door openers as being show-offs?
That's being showy. Anytime you have a machine that opens up your garage door, that's being a show-off.
One of my favorite moments on our show whenever we hear from your mom.
Yeah, she had some great sayings.
Yeah, she was such a great mixture of the privately judgmental Southern woman who was always making comments about people who were being showy, or always critiquing relationships in subtle ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he runs around on her. What? How do you know that? Yeah, just the way that she would word things. There's something about Southern women that just word things in a humorous way when they're even being serious.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, the common ones that I say on the air all the time are things when she would talk about, like, no one ever just smoked. She always had to take it to the nth degree, and she would describe someone as, he lit one off the other. I'm like, Mommy, maybe he has a cigarette, like maybe 5 a day or something. No. He lit. He
like a chimney.
He smoked from the time he got up to the time he fell into bed.
So many of my favorites, one of my favorites is when she would say, according to you, their youngest is touched.
Yeah, he's touched. I swear, she was always, and she had no diagnostic credentials at all for diagnosing conditions in people, but yet she always did.
He's a vegetable.
Yeah. I'm like, Mom, the person is just sleeping. They're in the hospital. They had an appendectomy. They're sleeping right now when we visited them.
They're not a vegetable.
Yeah. And she parented through fear. Anything that we did that was halfway fun, had a 70% chance of turning us into a vegetable.
Right.
You keep hopping from couch to couch, you're going to turn into a vegetable, and I'm not going to come visit you.
Okay, well, this is a lot of fun, so I'm going to keep doing it.
Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms out there.
All right, 9:49 on the ticket. We'll check in with Norm and Donnie next.